Lecture 7, Alexander I, Imagining Reform.
In the last few lectures, we've looked already at the growing tensions visible in 18th century Russian political culture between widespread desires, especially among the elites, especially among governmental elites, for thoroughgoing westernization and modernization of their society, and the persistent belief, on the other hand, in the importance of a strong central state precisely to realize these goals. Increasingly, especially by the 18th century, this first belief in westernizing, modernizing reform tended to threaten the second, the idea of autocracy and absolute power. And in fact, anxieties in the state about the dangers of too much reform, already seen quite visibly toward the end of Catherine the Great's reign, became especially visible in the final reign of the 18th century, in fact, the one that inaugurated the new 19th century. And this was the brief, indeed only four-year-long rule, of Catherine the Great's son, Paul, or Pavel in Russian, who ruled from 1796 to 1801. In practice, Paul actually had relatively little impact on Russian politics. What really makes his reign interesting is the symbolism, what it tells us about Russia's changing political culture. And one can see this in not just what he did, though this is important, but even more in the way upper-class society reacted to his actions. This lecture begins with Paul's brief but revealing reign, and then turns its attentions to his son, Alexander I, a ruler in many ways who truly and most deeply embodied all the contradictions of the age, as a result of which many began to call him Russia's Sphinx. Now, briefly put, Paul I, sought to undo as much of his mother's work as possible. We already saw him release Novikov from prison, just partly as a way of spiting his now deceased mother. But even more substantially, but still symbolically, he signaled his distance from his mother, his hostility from his mother, by having Peter III, his widely despised, his murdered father, dug up from his rather modest resting place and reburied with great pomp and ceremony. In terms of ideology and policy, it's clear that Paul was, above all, deeply suspicious, indeed really hostile, to the independent social activity that was especially visible among the nobility. He, first of all, immediately revoked the charter of the nobility, Catherine the Great's charter, which really enshrined Peter III's decision to free nobles from service and encourage them to engage in alternative forms of public service. He truly feared what these nobles were doing out there on their estates, what they were doing when they weren't in state service where they could be watched and controlled, what they were doing when they weren't in the military. So he forced nobles back into mandatory service and in fact took away all their involvement in running local affairs, the very thing Catherine the Great was trying to encourage. He also, for the exact same reason, revoked the Charter of Towns, which also gave local notables in the cities an opportunity to manage in a semi-autonomous way local affairs. His ideal for Russian life can be summed up really in a single word: militarization. Personally, he was absolutely obsessed with all things military, and his notion of the military was really quite a Prussian one. He spent a huge amount of time redesigning uniforms, redesigning regulations, organizing drills, organizing parades, all on a Prussian model. And most of all, he loved to engage in constant marches through the main squares of Petersburg and Moscow. So bad had this obsession with marching troops back and forth, and they looked quite beautiful, but still it became too much, that many critics began to speak of a paradomania with Paul. And in fact, as much as possible, he tried to apply these military methods to government as well. Also, to try to ensure a truly martial spirit in Russian life, one might describe it even as a sort of macho spirit in Russian life, he made sure that women, like Catherine the Great herself, would never have a chance to legally rule in Russia again. And indeed, part of this may have been just his own spite about his mother,